Major funding for On Point is provided by Liberty Mutual for all your auto, home, life, and business insurance needs. Liberty Mutual. Responsibility. What's your policy?
From WBUR Boston, I'm Tom Ashbrook, and this is On Point. Thinking online, you can shop till you drop with a mouse these days or pinchy fingers on an iPad. But the biggest online shopping phenom right now, maybe the biggest web phenom period, is the bargain junkie business. Social buying, sites that offer mega deals on all kinds of stuff to gangs that sign up for the big score. Groupon, Living Social, more. Changing shopping, retailing, right down to the corner store. This hour, On Point, daily deals, web leverage, social buying, and the future of shopping online. You can join the conversation. Are you a Groupon groupie? How's it work for you? Can you believe they turned down a $6 billion buyout from Google? And you can comment as well at our website, onpointradio.org, or on Twitter and Facebook at On Point Radio. Later this hour, we're going to hear from Living Social founder and CEO Tim O'Shaughnessy. Joining me first today from San Francisco is Natalie Morris, anchor for CNET and technology contributor to CBS News. She's been covering this year's online shopping. Natalie, welcome to On Point. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for having me.
So overall, what's going on here? Cyber Monday and all this, we hear the people bought about, what, $1 billion worth of stuff online just on that single day?
Yeah, people are shopping online like gangbusters. And if you think about it, it really is a more targeted way to not only find the things that are relevant to you, but also for retailers to find the people that are relevant to them. Because historically, when a retailer was trying to attract people into their store, they would maybe place an ad or put a sandwich board out in front of the store.
Sure.
And that's not really targeted advertising. That's advertising to masses of people. And the majority of those people probably don't care about your nail salon or your massage parlor or your cookie store.
But that's all you could do, wave your sandwich board.
Exactly, and then just hope that the people who want a sandwich will see that at the right time and place.
Right.
But now you have the internet in order to wave your sandwich board at the people you think might be hungry for your specific type of sandwich.
Well, let me ask you, do you have any idea, first of all, how much of American retail buying has now migrated to the web? I mean, is it 2%, 10%, half? Any idea what portion?
Well, I think we're seeing around in the 30s.
Really?
I've heard it's close to 35 was
wow.
The last I heard about it. And the funny thing is that especially during the Christmas holiday, people are shopping a lot more online, but something like 40% of the things that people are buying on these holiday shopping frenzies are not for other people. It's for themselves. So that's why these coupon deals are so good, because I'm not going to get my mom a, you know, sandwich shop coupon for Christmas,
right.
Maybe a stocking stuffer, but these things are timely. So most of the time when I'm shopping on these coupon deals like Life Booker or Living Social,
mm-hmm.
I'm doing it for myself.
People all revved up to shop and then shop for themselves. You know, you think, okay, shopping online, it must be really different, something really wild and funky about it. But I'm looking at the sites that saw the most visits on this so-called Cyber Monday, and, you know, they're pretty much convinced. I mean, Amazon's at the top, but right behind it in the top 10, it just sounds like regular shop. It's Walmart, Target, Best Buy, Kohl's, Sears, Lands' End, Penney's, and Macy's. I mean, that's brick-and-mortar shopping to the max.
Exactly. And these retailers have figured out how to offer really great deals on these days in order to get us to keep shopping. So they know how to put themselves out in front of us. They're offering free shipping for the whole season. The whole shopping season, we can get free shipping at Walmart with no minimum purchase. So you can get a chapstick shipped to you for free if you wanted to. It's crazy.
When does this begin to change, or has it already, what we see in brick and mortar, in actual, you know, stores you can walk into? Is there a point at which those become fewer in number, those become less important, or not?
Well, what I think is happening is the fusion of the two worlds, because now with smartphones, you can take the power of information with you to the store, because, you know, shopping in person is still a very powerful experience. As a woman, I can say, I will never buy a pair of jeans online. I need to try those on. It's too big of an investment for me. But I can go and try on some jeans. I can use a barcode scanner application like Red Laser or the new Amazon application, and I can see, okay, this jean, these jeans cost me maybe $50 here, but I know on Amazon I can get them for $35 with free shipping, so I'm not going to buy them here, even though I was in the store. So now retailers have to not only compete with one another if you're a brick-and-mortar store, but you have to compete with yourself and with the Internet.
And Natalie, finally, on this whole Groupon, Living Social, this social buying trend, where do you stand on that? Are you, first of all, how's it work for people who haven't done it? How's it work? And then are you into it?
I do like it. How it works is you put your zip code or your city into these sites, and then these sites have made it their business to find deals for you all day long in your area. So once you get to a specific number of people who have committed to buying that discount, then the discount is active, and then you can take it to, say, a nail shop or a massage parlor or a local museum exhibit, and so you get a really significant discount. The retailer gets people who may not have otherwise been going to their store for that day, and usually it's a big boost in number. And then Groupon makes a percentage of what they sell that day. So before these sites existed, you could find coupons that were local, but it was harder. I know I used to go to eBay and then buy gift certificates for restaurants in my area at a discount, which was, you know,
kind of awkward.
Yeah, it wasn't. And so now I can just go to these places, tell them where I live, or they know where you live because of your IP address or your mobile. And then they'll say, okay, right around you are these discounts. And I might say, yes, I actually do feel like cupcakes today. And then I go in and I get those things for a discount.
We're going to look at it this whole hour, but let me put it to you just in a word. Does turning down $6 billion from Google make sense to you in the case of Groupon? Is it that big a deal?
You know, I don't think it makes a lot of sense when it comes to value, but I was reading this morning in Business Insider that they may have turned it down because of possible antitrust issues, and they just didn't want to deal with the headache. So they're making a lot of money. Sometimes it's, you know, it's a lesson we can all learn. It's, if it's too much of a headache and they don't want to be greedy, then, you know, they're staying the course and they're doing just fine.
$6 billion, not enough. We'll talk about why. Natalie Morris, news anchor for CNET, technology contributor for CBS News. Thank you so much for being with us from San Francisco, Natalie.
Absolutely my pleasure.
Joining me now from Chicago is Chris Steiner, staff writer at Forbes magazine, wrote a big Forbes cover story on the phenom in his backyard, Groupon, and still follows its rocket ride. Chris Steiner, thank you very much for being with us.
Hey, Tom, thank you.
So $6 billion they turned down, and maybe it was for antitrust reasons. Let's set that aside for just a second. Where did this thing come from, this huge phenom in your backyard there in Chicago?
Well, its roots go back several years, even though Groupon has actually only been around 2 years. Andrew Mason, who's the CEO and the founder, started a company called The Point. And the
this is a music major out of Northwestern.
That's
University,
right.
Okay.
He's a music major out of Northwestern who learned how to do some programming in college. And once he graduated, he landed a couple jobs as a web developer. And he ended up going to the University of Chicago for graduate school in public policy or something related to that.
Yep.
And he came up with this idea to build a website called The Point, which would allow people to band together for causes, and it would give them, say, tipping points. So, you know, they had a couple of goofy but powerful campaigns. One was to put a dome over Chicago, so it wouldn't.
So this wasn't
have,
shopping. This was all kinds of big social issues.
It wouldn't
whatever
have
you want.
The winter seasons, right? And they got like $600,000. People committed to spend $600,000 if they raise enough money or something like that. And so the point. They never were able to make enough money on The Point with the advertising model. And that's when they came up with the group buying idea. Well, what if we banded these same people together to get better deals at local retailers? And that's how Groupon got started 2 years ago. And it's amazing that it was just 2 years ago because this is a company now with a revenue run rate of about $2 billion a year.
Wow. And Google ready last week to reach down with $6 billion and say, let's go, let's get together, because Google wants to get into this local business. I mean, I still wonder how it relates to all the things people need to buy in their lives. You, I think it's you give an example just from my backyard here. In Bedford, Massachusetts, the East Coast Aero Club put an offer on Groupon for helicopter flying lessons. It's not exactly, you know, bread and orange juice. And they're normally priced at $225. They put them up on Groupon for $69, and these are limited-time offers. Had to be shut down by 11 in the morning. Groupon subscribers had signed up for 2,500 lessons. The club had expected maybe 200. I mean, that's the kind of stampede they can generate. But for helicopter flying lessons, how widely applicable is this, Chris?
Yeah, that's a lot of helicopter flying lessons for sure.
Sounds fun, but come on.
Exactly. But, you know, Groupon in general isn't going to be your bread and rice type things. It's going to be things where the marginal costs to the vendor are relatively small. So if they have helicopters instructors sitting around with wide open spots in their day, mm-hmm. the only marginal cost is the cost to maintain the helicopter and the gasoline. So that's how a lot of these deals end up being in service-oriented industries. And Groupon doesn't pitch itself as something that saves you money on everyday items. Well, they pitch themselves as something that allows you to discover your city and all the different places it has to offer.
I mean, I wonder then how big a deal it can be. Wired looks at the kind of things that they sell and says, oh, this is about, you know, hot stone massages and professional photo portraiture, obscure ethnic food and hot air balloon rides. Is that stuff a big deal?
It's apparently a big enough deal that the question is, of course, it's all valid criticism. The question is whether people are going to keep coming back for hot rock massages. I think everyone's going to keep going back for the restaurant deals, but when they don't have those, the wondering is, well, okay, I got a massage last month on Groupon. How many more of these things am I going to buy? And I can say, because I look at Groupon every day, massage things and things of that ilk pop up quite often, again, because the marginal cost to the vendor is very small.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the big new push in e-commerce and online shopping. It's called social buying. We're looking at the Groupon phenomenon, super bargain shopping, and American hordes in search of local daily deals. Chris Steiner is with us. He's with Forbes magazine. Joins us from Chicago, where Groupon is based. It's just grown like crazy. They've got now 35 million users in 300 markets in North America, Latin America, Europe, maybe in your city or town. Check in every day. See what super, super deals being offered in your town. Enough people sign up for it, and you're in on it. Off you go. Maybe half off on who knows what. We're going to hear from a challenger to Groupon, Living Social, from the CEO of Living Social in a few minutes. Chris Steiner is with us right now, and you can join us. Damien, Medford, Mass. Damien, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. I think Groupon is just one of the greatest things since sliced bread. Not only do you get a discount in terms of where you go out to eat, because I do like to eat out, but the best thing about Groupon, which is reason why I think I feel like I'm addicted to it at times, is you end up eating at places that you otherwise wouldn't have eaten at. Because a lot of times when you go out to eat, you go based upon what you know or word of mouth. You go on to Groupon, and there's this great deal for this vegan place out in Beverly, Massachusetts. So, okay, well, I've never had raw food. I've never had raw food before. Let me go out and try raw food in Beverly.
And how much off do you get, Damien? How much? What discount does it take to get you going?
Oh, all it takes is like 25 for 50, you know.
Just 25 or 50.
I'm getting a 25 for $50, 25 for 30. Nothing great. Just give me, you know, $25 off, and I'm there to try the new restaurant that I haven't tried before.
Greatest thing since sliced bread. Damien, we love it. So many callers here. Red Oak, Iowa. Jennifer, you're on. What do you know?
Well, I got a really gorgeous canvas of a family portrait from a photograph, and I'm so excited. This is like the first time in years that I'm excited to give something to my mom and dad. They will cry. Thank you, Groupon.
It was through Groupon, and what kind of discount did you get, Jennifer?
It was over 50%, and you know what? I kind of like it if it's over 50%. That's my tipping point.
What? So that's what it now takes to get you to go out and buy the thing, 50%.
Yes, you know what? There's a lot of competition out there, and I think over 50% is a huge selling point.
We're going to talk about how Groupon and its ilk are changing American consumers, but you're a great example right there, Jennifer, in Iowa. I appreciate your call. One more, Nashville. Bob, you're on the air. What do you think?
Well, I think I'm all over the board on this one. I'm a Groupon junkie in terms of buying, but in terms of my restaurants that I own, I kind of don't want to put my business on there. I think it's just too much to give away.
Because you've got a restaurant and people are expecting discounts so big, it's not worth it even if the volume is big, Bob?
No, because I get 25% of the dollar, basically, from Groupon, and my food cost is higher than that, let alone my labor and everything else. I think it's perfect for a business that's new, struggling, you know, needs cash for some reason, or that they know people are going to come in and spend way more than what they got on their Groupon.
That they would otherwise.
Like mine are low-end, you know, low-price restaurant, coffee house type thing.
Right.
The Groupon's going to cover their entire meal, and I just got 20. I just lost money for every sale that came in.
Well, there
and
it is.
And I think most of them I'm going to be attracting my own customers anyway.
Right. Bob, you're great. I mean, it's funny. There you are. Love using Groupon. Not so crazy about people using it on you. Chris, what's the deal between local retailers and Groupon Central? How do they split whatever revenue's left after these huge discounts?
It's typically a 50-50 split. So if Groupon's selling a gift certificate worth $50 at a local Mexican restaurant, Groupon takes home $12.50, and so does the restaurant. So as the gentleman from Nashville said, he only gets 25% of that $50 value back in his pocket.
So, I mean, is this sustainable? You heard our caller in Iowa saying, you know, it now takes 50% off to get her into a store. I mean, does this work for everybody, or is this something temporary while consumers harvest this for a while and then retailers give up and say we can't stay on this path?
It's a really good question, and I think what it comes down to, what a good question to ask Damien from Massachusetts would have been, well, okay, so you're trying out all these new restaurants, but do you go back? Because that's what it's all about. If you're just going to hop around and only eat when you get a Groupon at somewhere and never go back there, it's probably not worth it to these restaurants to do. Now, Groupon has their own statistics about return customers and how much they spend over the value of the Groupon, et cetera. And all these things matter to whether or not this is going to be a sustainable model. But it's very hard to tell because this has only been around really in its current high volume form for a year and a half. So we don't yet know if this is going to be worth it to all these local retailers.
The Google guys are no fools, and they think there's something going on here. They've got $30 billion in cash. That's a ton, but they were willing to put a $6 billion chit down on this one. Michael, in Providence, Rhode Island. What do you know, Michael?
Yeah, I'm a retailer also, and we get 25% on a Groupon if we went up with the deal, and that does not cover my food cost. It was a restaurant, and I'd just like to throw in the point of my existing customers come in, and a few of them demand that I actually participate in that program or they're not going to come back. So I feel like I'm held hostage to the whole Groupon.
So they want the 50% kind of discount or ciao,
right.
Adios.
And maybe they don't realize that I have to split it with Groupon, and like I'm losing customers because I'm not participating in it, so I'm losing customers because I'm not willing to lose money.
But do you have a choice? If they're expecting people to participate and you don't, maybe they go to the next shop down the street.
Yeah, maybe they do, but, you know, pick your poison.
Oh, boy.
And I don't think it's that different than when, you know, Valpaks and all other coupons used to get mailed out to houses.
Yeah.
We always refuse to participate in those deals because the customers, I mean, I track that pretty carefully, and customers only come into the store, coupon customers only come into stores when they have a coupon. They're not coming back and paying full price. So I feel like a lot of these programs, the retailer just loses.
The bigger they get, the more they change American shopping and maybe the face of American retailing. Michael, thanks for your call. We're going to go in just a second to Seattle, but one more. Alex, Hartford, Connecticut. Alex, you're on the air.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan of this one site I go to every morning. It's called Woot.com, W-O-O-T.
Okay.
And their whole deal is one deal a day. So every day it's a new item, and you get incredible deals on it. I bought iPods off of this for, you know, $50, $75 less than retail. And, you know, products are great, and, you know, you can get almost anything you want. Just a matter of time to wait for it. And, you know, even better is that no matter what you buy, whether it's $1 or $100, it's always $5 shipping.
So really cheap shipping. Sounds like great deals. And whether it's Groupon or Living Social or Woot.com, you're off to the races with them. Alex, thanks for calling. Chris Steiner, stand by. I want to welcome to our conversation Scott Steinberg. He joins us from Seattle, Washington. CEO, founder of Tech Savvy Global, big tech analyst out there. Scott, welcome back to On Point. Thanks for being with us.
Hey, Tom, good to be back.
$6 billion offer from Google for this company, and there are others out there. Amazon.com is invested in Living Social. What do they see that our listeners may or may not in the future here, you know, between the internet and local commerce? What's going on here, Scott?
Well, I think they see that hyperlocal is the future. I mean, you got to keep in mind that over 80% of disposable income from each household is spent within 10 miles of the radius of that location where that household sits. So we're talking about a potential $100 billion market. You've got lots of businesses that used to be investing in ads and alt weeklies in the local newspaper and the yellow pages, and there's billions of dollars waiting to be sucked up. And what companies like Google and Amazon see is the chance to put purchasing right at the fingertips. So if they've got search results, they come up, you're looking for hamburgers in Seattle, you're out in Boston, you want to get great sushi, they want to be able to push you towards an immediate deal on it that you can literally grab in seconds. And we're talking about impulse buys, so huge volume here.
But they're acclimating American consumers to deep, deep, deep discounts. Those are welcome right now in this economy, welcome anytime. But should retailers run toward this or run away from it, Scott?
Well, I think it'd be a very powerful tool for retailers in that it can drive new business. But as some of the earlier folks on the program warned, it can be a problem because margins aren't that big to begin with. And when you slash them to this point, it can be a problem for actual profits. Now, it's probably most effective for businesses who are looking to bring new people in the door, because essentially when you have helicopter lessons that you expect to have 200 people for,
right,
you get 2,500 new people, presumably some percentage of those are going to become returning customers who are going to pay full price. But yes, there is a huge issue when you're only seeing 25 cents on the dollar as a business owner that you're not even going to be able to cover basic costs.
I mean, once again, here comes the internet swooping in with a great big impact now right down at the local level. And the issue is, what's sustainable here? What really works for everybody long term? Bristol, New York. Katie, thanks for calling, Katie. You're on the air. What do you know?
I'm a yoga teacher, and we participated in Groupon, and what I'm seeing is that the people who want to come back, they will not pay full price. They only want another discount after the Groupon deal is over.
Right.
Now, the other point is, the only thing that really will sustain me as a yoga teacher is my other clients who are willing to pay me $100 an hour. So it's like, just like the country is getting more and more divided between rich and poor, I think this is exactly what's happening. And the Groupon sort of deal is actually making that happen.
Katie, how much is it happening? I mean, people who don't use it may have a sense that this is some little marginal thing at the edges. Has this become a big deal to you, or are you just worried it might?
No, I definitely think that it's just part of the trend of more and more the super wealthy versus people who aren't so wealthy. And I just think it's the way that the country is going more and more.
Katie, that is really interesting. Let's talk to somebody who's right in the middle of this. Tim O'Shaughnessy joins us from Washington, D.C., CEO and founder of Living Social, maybe the second biggest of these websites, these social buying websites. Amazon.com just invested $175 million in Living Social, and there's more than that in their pocket these days. Tim O'Shaughnessy, thank you very much for being with us.
Tom, thanks for having me.
So are you guys, we don't know who's going to win, Groupon or you or somebody else, or maybe there'll be a lot of winners here, but is it good for American retailers? Is it ultimately good for American consumers? Do you lead to a kind of forest fire of bargains and there's nothing standing when you're done?
No, I think it's actually fantastic for retailers and small businesses. Traditionally, there hasn't been a marketing method that has let them really track and measure and kind of guarantee that they get customers through their doors the next day. And this is becoming very much a tried and true, trackable, measurable way to do so. And we're seeing a lot of receptivity to this model from both consumers and merchants.
But if retailers, merchants are making 25 cents on the dollar, let's say, off full price, how workable is it? How does this grow beyond the thing that's making such a big splash right now? Or is this just the new model, discount or die?
Yeah, I think there's two things that people sometimes don't think about. One is, a lot of the retailers that we work with, they take their traditional marketing budgets from $2,000-$3,000 a month down to zero, because this is a marketing program and it's proving better than their traditional programs. I think the second is that folks are, there are people that come back. There are people that go and spend more value. We see oftentimes that it's a 50 to 60% incremental spend on top of what they are as a prepaid customer walking in the door already. And so the total value ends up being significantly higher than 25 cents on the dollar.
And what about the business model here, Tim? I mean, a lot of people jumping into this pool. Groupon is in there in a gigantic way. You're on track, I'm reading here, to triple your employees next year to 1,800, double the number of cities where you're offering deals. You've just got an extra 183 million in investors. Amazon, the most of that. You're quoted saying, we're not bringing a knife to a gunfight. But who wins in this? Or will there be a lot of winners? If Groupon can turn down $6 billion, can you whoop them?
Yeah, I think that there will be multiple winners in the space. It's not a winner-take-all environment. And you know, we're pretty just heads down continuing to build our experience. You know, we've got people on the ground in every single market that we're in, which is a pretty differentiated item. We feel that local merchants have the right to shake the hands of everybody they do business with. And I think that, you know, we'll continue to grow. It's been a fantastic year, but 2011 should be even much better and bigger.
Let's get some of those American consumers on the line with you, Tim. Heidi in Nashville, you're on with the CEO of Living Social, Tim O'Shaughnessy. Hi, Heidi.
Hi, thanks for taking my call.
What do you think?
I just wanted to say that economically, I think retailers are making a huge mistake by thinking of this as a perpetual advertising concept. It's more of a meritocracy. For example, my husband, I recently got him teeth whitening program.
Okay.
And he would never do that kind of thing normally, but, you know, I kind of pushed him out there and made him do it. And within about 2 hours of coming out, people were asking him where it happened and how much it was. And
that sounds like good word-of-mouth marketing.
Exactly. And so, you know, maybe it's not a perpetual thing. Maybe it's literally just part of your advertising budget. Maybe you give it away to a few people and it's a meritocracy and you say, hey, our product is this good. We're going to prove it to you.
But he bought it, and others asked him about it, and now they know about it. That might work. One more. Thank you, Heidi. Irene in Bedford, Massachusetts. Irene, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. I just want to say that I do participate in Groupon, and I think it's great, but I got involved with my health club that way that I'm in now that I've stayed in for like a year. But the best deals that I've been getting this fall and other people I talk to are basically in retail. Just walking into my local mall, which is just a quarter of a mile away, my husband got a shirt at Macy's last week for $7.
You mean they're marking it down without any fancy online stuff? It's just bargains being offered, you mean?
Exactly. Bargains and coupons. And these are things that have been in the store. They're not like old merchandise or anything.
Right. Just walk in and buy it. Irene, we've got that as well. I've just got Tim for another minute. Tim, what do you think? First, a question from Heidi in Nashville. Is this really a perpetual marketing avenue for brick-and-mortar retailers? And then, you know, if you guys start knocking down expectations or up expectations of bargains, maybe they'll just be there on the shelf with or without Living Social or Groupon.
Yeah, I think to the first question, it is a little bit more of a perpetual marketing program, and I think Heidi's example that she gave is a lot of the benefit of the program itself. People started to ask her husband; they told, you know, what the brand was, what the merchant was, talked about the product and service, and that's a lot of what we help facilitate. So I think that becomes, you know, when you have that sort of demand and outcome, you know, the merchants are really liking that. You know, I don't think that it means that all products are going to become more and more discounted. I mean, what we provide is very, very time limited. It's 24 hours. It's really a special thing that provides, you know, a lot of burst for the retailers and is part of their standard marketing programs when they want to really push things forward. So I don't think that that's going to necessarily become a widespread kind of evergreen way that merchants do business.
Who goes public first, you or Groupon?
Oh, I have no idea about that. We've got our heads down, working hard.
All right. Well, good luck to you. Retailers listening very closely, consumers listening very closely to Tim O'Shaughnessy, CEO and founder of Living Social. Tim, thank you very much for being with us today.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about social buying, the Groupon Living Social phenomenon, big time bargain shopping in American hordes in search of those local daily deals offered online. This thing is really taking off. Groupon last week turned down a $6 billion buyout offer from Google. Maybe that was about antitrust concerns, but that was a heck of a big chunk of change to turn down. But with Chris Steiner of Forbes magazine out of Chicago, where Groupon is based. He's been covering this just wall to wall, doing a great job with it. Scott Steinberg is with us as well from Seattle, Washington, CEO and founder of Tech Savvy Global. He's got a lot to say. We've got so much. Chris and Scott, I want to get your reaction to a lot of what's pouring in here. You know, here's Jeremy. This is online, says, seems like just another way to destroy the downtown. Francis says, Tom, you're right. Groupon isn't for bread and milk. But she writes, I did go to the dentist for the first time in several years. I've never had coverage, an adult. Looks like this made it affordable. Here's Laura. She says, my husband's a furniture maker, owned two galleries. The website, Groupon, I guess, is not a sales tool for us. It's a fantastic connecting and advertising tool, but people need to come in and actually see the furniture. And then there's this, Janet in Brentwood, Tennessee. Been using Groupon for a year, uses Groupon at stores and restaurants where she wouldn't otherwise be motivated to go. Then she says, it's important merchants treat Groupon users well because some do seem like they begrudge the Groupon. Chris, I mean, you know, can Groupon keep the welcome mat out for itself as its success grows?
There's definitely been some kickback, especially at restaurants, and servers get upset when people tip on the bill that reflects the Groupon price, meaning, you know,
a bad deal for the waitress or waiter.
They had 20. Yeah, exactly. So there's been some of that online chatter. But, you know, Groupon does say explicitly on their Groupon coupons to tip on what the bill would have been, and that is listed on the bill. But, you know, Tim said something that is really prescient here, and that is, this is advertising. And so, yeah, the guy in Nashville may be losing money on every customer who comes in and uses a Groupon, and that all depends. But really, you have to look at this as advertising. And the question is, how many return customers are you going to keep, and how much are you willing to spend per return customer? And that's what advertising is all about. This Groupon phenomenon, gives local businesses a direct pipeline to consumers, and it allows them to get 2,000 people to show up at their door the next day. I mean, that's what it's all about when it comes down to advertising. Yes, it costs money, but advertising has always cost money.
Yeah, so there's always a price on advertising. Scott, let me put it. Here's a Facebook comment. Let me put to you. This is from Rick. It says, being a typical guy, I avoid stores unless they are electronic gadget stores with a passion. So online shopping rules for me, he writes, Scott. But he says, but I do see a potential problem with how discounting is now expected by consumers before they will buy. Margins, he writes, are going to be a lot lower on store merchandise. Will we someday get to the point where there are no brick-and-mortar stores to shop at? What do you say, Scott?
No, I don't think it's a road to oblivion. And I think if you look at the statistics, you'll actually find that although more buyers are researching products online, they're actually going into the store to purchase them. And, of course, big box retailers can continue to slash things deeper than local businesses because they have bigger margins. But I think it's important to keep in mind that there have always been the concept of loss leaders. I remember when Best Buy was selling CDs for next to nothing under $10 at a time when they were retailing for $20 to get you in to go buy a microwave or a refrigerator. And so I don't think it's any different. I mean, these are powerful psychological drivers, these deals. They're all about impulse buys. And I think the thing to keep in mind is that merchants can use them to get shoppers in the store to buy higher margin items or, as Tim pointed out, to buy additional products. And the thing to keep in mind, too, is that these services are actually increasingly enabling it so that local businesses have a one-to-one dialogue, as Chris pointed out, with consumers. And they can offer regular deals because they better know consumers' buying habits. They know what people are into, what price points drive them, and they can use that very effectively to drive the sales of high-margin goods.
Chris, if these are loss leaders in the deals that Groupon, Living Social do, is there some kind of limit, you know? I mean, if 10,000 people show up for that 10-cent hamburger, do the retailers have to deliver all that?
They typically do. Sometimes there's a cap, but it's usually Groupon doesn't like to put caps on their deals.
Mm-hmm.
They will assent to turning a deal off like they did with the helicopter outfit in Massachusetts.
We're running out of helicopters.
If things get out of hand.
Yeah. Jennifer, Middletown, Connecticut. What do you think, Jennifer?
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I think it's not necessarily good for the consumer because they buy things they don't need.
Ooh, what do you mean? Like more yoga lessons than they can take, or I don't know, too many hot rock massages? What?
Yeah, well, things that they might not otherwise get because they can't afford it.
Of course, it's still their choice, and then maybe it's 50% off. But even at that, you think it's taking them out for discretionary purchases they don't need? But if they want to buy it, they think they can afford it. Is that a bad thing?
No. It's more for the gadgets and the retail items and the services.
Yeah.
It seems
it's definitely interesting that it takes people out into some kind of maybe exotic spending, Scott, that the people wouldn't do otherwise. On the other hand, they're getting a great deal on that exotic spending, I guess.
Yeah, I think discovery is a big element of this. But, it's funny that Jennifer should bring that up, because there is a huge secondary market for these coupons that has emerged. You've got sites like Lifesta and Coop Recoup that actually allow you to resell all those impulse buys you bought and didn't really wind up using. So if you missed a deal, or in fact you actually have gone out on a limb and decided, well, maybe I don't need that mani-pedi that I invested in.
Yeah.
Perhaps I can pass it along to somebody else. And, there is that risk there. But at the same time, that's good for local merchants.
But, Chris, isn't there often an expiration date on these Groupon or other effective coupons people get with this?
Yes, it's usually about a year, especially with the smaller vendors. But you have to understand, the fact that people aren't going to use every deal they buy is a distinct part of the model here, because that's free capital.
Like
gift
cards. That's
free float for Groupon and the retailers. And that is usually around 15%. They call that breakage. So 15% roughly of every deal never cashes in. Now, when you saw Groupon cut a deal with The Gap, and with Nordstrom Rack earlier this year. Now, those are national retailers, obviously, with locations everywhere. Those deals expired in a matter of 1 or 2 months. But usually, Groupon asks that their vendors give consumers a whole year.
So 1 or 2 months, that's still enough to sell the coupon on very often if you wanted to. Take us inside for a minute, Chris and Scott. I'll come first to you, Chris. Take us inside, if it's possible, the mind of Google here. $6 billion is a lot. Was that offer based strictly on what Groupon is doing now, or do they see this evolving into some more complete transformation of retailing, shopping, buying in this country? Chris, first to you.
Well, any tech acquisition is based on future expectations, of course. But what you had going on here is this would have given Google a rigid pipeline into the advertising budgets of small and local retailers. And that's something they've been trying to crack for a long time with their own AdWords platform, but they haven't been able to do wholly successfully, nor has any macro advertising agent been able to do. So that's what they saw it as. And right now, at a run rate of $2 billion a year revenue for Groupon, that means Google would only be paying 3x for this item that's going to keep growing. That's actually not that expensive.
A bargain.
Now, Groupon's not a normal company in that it has $2 billion worth of revenues after only being 2 years old. So there isn't much precedent here. Wow. But the reason it could have drawn antitrust scrutiny is because Google already controls so much of the advertising dollar here in the United States. So that's where the real worry was. And it'll be interesting to see if this thing comes back around, and it very well may.
Scott, if Google had picked up Groupon for this $6 billion, it would have been the biggest acquisition of a venture-backed company in more than a decade. So what do you see them thinking about where all this is headed? Is it just Groupon continuing to do what it does on an ever bigger scale? Or are maybe they gaming some even more ententicled notion of how, they can get into local buying and selling from HQ in California?
Well, I think it's not just a natural marriage, because so much of Groupon's traffic is driven by Google AdWords and services like Facebook, where they can place ads that are very targeted. And I think for Google, it would be a natural fit. But on top of this, you also have to keep in mind that Groupon and other online coupon vendors, I mean, these guys have tremendous amounts of data that tell them about consumer demographics, buying habits, what goods are moving, when they're moving, how they're moving, to what areas, what the best time is to put them on sale, how they should be priced. And I think for Google, not only would they get access to this tremendously valuable data, but also a huge database of email signups and know what people are buying and know directly how to market to them. And there's tremendous value in that data as well.
Let's go to New York, Plattsburgh, New York, and Candace. Candace, you're on the air. What do you think?
I think that these Groupon deals are going to drive inflation, because I think that the companies are going to mark their prices up more so that they still have their base prices covered even when consumers use the coupons.
So not deflation, not driving prices down overall, but sort of drive up the sticker price and in a way sort of strong arm everybody into Groupon, because if you're not getting the discount, you'd be paying then, Candace, some kind of super, retail suggested price.
I think so.
Oh, that's interesting. Chris, how about it? Could it have that big an effect that you're either in the club or you're really paying through the nose?
I think we're a long way from that kind of macro trend taking place just because of this phenomenon. You have to think about how many millions of retailers are out there and how many really this infrastructure can handle, which is what gives rise to all these competitors. And I do think that the percentage that Groupon and others are able to take will be driven down by competition. The margins have to get smaller. As you see Living Social and hundreds of other competitors move into this, they're going to eventually be competing for the same retailers, and that is going to give them less stake in each deal.
Boy, the internet just keeps chewing into how things work. Scott in Sunderland, Massachusetts. Scott, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi. I'd like to add that from the service sector's perspective, these downward price pressures have a deflationary mode. That is that we hold the line on wages, and year on year out, what happens is stagnation of wages. And we have struggled in the service sector for a number of years, and I see these sites adding to that pressure in an accelerated manner.
So what kind of service work are you in, Scott?
Oh, we're a five-person electrical contracting company.
Now, as an electrical contractor, do you experience Groupon? I mean, do you participate in it? Does it affect your pricing?
Not necessarily Groupon, but others such as social networking sites like Lists, Craigslist in particular, where those prices are set larger and larger from the cloud, if you will.
Right. So you're getting downward pricing pressure from this whole world of the internet with a five-person electrician team out there. Let me hold that one right there, Scott. That's really interesting. One more from Owensboro, Kentucky. Monique, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are
Hi.
You today?
Great. What do you see?
Okay. Love your show. I'm a little nervous.
No, but, don't be.
I think the whole idea of Groupon is probably great because you can get online and get these coupons. However, I feel that in this country, nobody wants to pay full price for anything. And if we don't pay full price, that's why we outsource everything to China and everywhere else to make things so that we can get them cheaper and cheaper, you know, and we don't want to pay full price. And that's a little bit of a problem.
Yeah, that is really interesting, too. Scott, I mean, everybody knows what Monique's talking about there. We saw Walmart take prices way down, but then everything's made in China. If this is is Groupon part of how we're dealing with an economic slide, and it somehow, you know, we end up having to have everything made in low labor cost markets or illegal labor? Does it push us that direction, Scott?
Well, I think to some degree it drives deflation. I mean, you'd be foolish to think not. But at the same time, I mean, keep in mind that just because you're perceiving getting a discount or getting a discount on a specific item doesn't mean that they're not able to raise margins or sell other goods to make up for that. So I don't think it's necessarily a road to oblivion at this point. I just think we have to be a little bit wiser about what we're spending on or where merchants are investing their money. And Groupon is not going to completely drop an atom bomb on our manufacturing system at the end of the day. But it is an increasingly globalized world. It is an increasingly globalized economy, and the internet as a whole is driving downward pricing trends, especially in an economically depressed times like this when people are looking to get a better value. But that doesn't mean you can't be smart about the psychology and offer discounts on goods where you can afford to take prices down.
Still, I mean, Monique is onto something here again. This means more efficiency in the market, the retail market, and efficiency can leave a lot of people naked when it comes to sourcing the elements of whatever they're selling. Elizabeth, Charlotte, North Carolina. Elizabeth, you're on the air.
Hi, Tom. How are you?
Great. What do you see?
Well, we have used some of the social networking sites. We have found success with most of them.
Are you speaking as a buyer or a seller? Are you a retailer, Elizabeth?
As a seller. We are a chain of day spas, so we have done some offerings for hair services and massage services.
Yeah. How's it working?
We've done one. It did really, really well because we upsold. When the clients came in, we tried to sell them more things. We got our staff really worked up about it.
Yep.
We haven't done a Groupon one yet just for the cost factor in that. However, listening to your program, I agree with some of what people are saying. We will probably cut some of our other advertising out for 2011 so that we can do the Groupon instead of, say, billboards or TV advertising.
Right. That's so interesting, Elizabeth. Our time's short here. I appreciate your call. But, Chris, here's more knock-on effect. I mean, billboard companies, too bad for you. Newspapers, I don't know. You know, you name it. Traditional advertising media are going to face this kind of pressure. Elizabeth's describing that right there. You know, you quote, I see quoted here in Andrew Mason from Groupon. He's the 30-year-old founder and CEO who just turned down $6 billion. He says, the beauty of the model, he says, we're using these game mechanisms to trick people into getting out of the house and doing things they always wanted to do, i.e. buying in this case, Chris. I mean, this sounds like the clarion call of yet another gigantic change in the way buying and selling, shopping, retail work in this country, Chris.
Yeah, it's really an evolution, a continued evolution in advertising. And just as newspapers were kind of destroyed by Craigslist and losing all that revenue from classified ads, this goes to their banner ads that run in the normal pages of the newspaper, because it's very hard to get metrics on those ads. Groupon, it's very easy to see when that is working, because you can see how many of those people came into your shop, because you know when they give you the Groupon, you know how much they spend. You can kind of tell when they come back. Groupon has their own measurements on these metrics. Mm-hmm. So it's just a much more effective way to spend an advertising dollar compared to, say, a newspaper ad.
Chris Steiner at Forbes magazine, thanks for all your reporting on this. And thank you very much for being with us from Chicago, Groupon country today. Thanks a lot, Chris.
Thank you, Tom.
Scott Steinberg, just got a couple seconds. I mean, you're going to feel like a sucker soon, I guess, if you're not in this as a buyer, though. This is where the bargains are.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. You got to get the, you know, go where the deals are. And I fully understand. Every dollar's tighter these days, so make them count.
Well, everybody's listening. I'm sure maybe they're in already, or maybe they're headed there. What a world. Scott Steinberg, CEO and founder of Tech Savvy Global. It's always great to have you with us. Scott, thanks for joining us from Seattle today.
Always a pleasure, Tom. Thank you.
And listeners all over, thank you. Good luck out there. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.